We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming to the show a preventive cardiologist, the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Wheat Belly, and several other books, including his brand new one, Super Gut, Reprogram Your Microbiome to Restore Health, Lose Weight, and Turn Back the Clock. We're happy to welcome in Dr. William Davis. Dr. Davis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for asking me. Glad to be here.
This book is really a great guidebook about taking control of your own body and your own health.
You know, I was really bothered and continue to be bothered by this advice that all you have to do is either nothing or take something like a probiotic and you've gotten your path back to health. And that's just simply not true. There's more to it. And if you understand these issues, people have magnificent control over their health, many other aspects of health like weight loss.
Well, let's get people caught up if they haven't read your previous books. What is Wheat Belly in a nutshell?
It's based on the idea that agribusiness has been very busy changing plants, including the wheat plant. So while we all remember the 4.5 or 5 foot tall traditional wheat plant, if you look for a wheat field today, you'd have to look long and hard before you find something like that. Virtually all wheat today is an 18-inch tall, high-yield, very thick, large seed head, large seed plant created by agribusiness for increased yield. Now, in their defense, they didn't do this to mess with you. They did this to increase yield per acre and fight off pests, but unknowingly amplifying a lot of the adverse effects. And when you take modern wheat out of the diet, some pretty impressive health benefits occur, such as dramatic weight loss, reduction in blood sugar, reduction in blood pressure. Many people lose skin rashes. They have relief from many other health conditions like autoimmune conditions. In other words, a long list of health benefits by eliminating this creation of agribusiness.
Well, and in this book, you've taken it a step further to talk about Frankenbelly. What is that?
So unfortunately, all the things modern people have been exposed to, numerous courses of antibiotics, often for viral illnesses or for pretty flimsy reasons, or the glyphosate, the active agent in Roundup herbicide, which is also an antibiotic, or herbicides and pesticides in our food. All these and many other factors have disrupted the composition of microbes, mostly bacteria, living in the human GI tract. And there's two fundamental consequences. One is we've lost species that played important roles in our health. We've also, in their place, those lost species have allowed unhealthy species. And these are typically stool species, names you might be familiar with, like E. coli and Salmonella, that also cause food poisoning. These stool microbes have proliferated, outmuscled healthy species, and then in 1 in 3 of us, over 100 million Americans, by my estimation, have ascended, have climbed up into the ileum, jejunum, duodenum, and stomach, such that many people now have 30 feet of trillions of microbes that turn over rapidly. They don't live 90 years. They don't live 80 years. They live hours. So this rapid turnover of trillions of microbes live and die. When they die, some of their byproducts, some of their breakdown products are released into the bloodstream. And that's how they export the toxic effects of unhealthy microbes from the GI tract to the skin as rosacea, or to the brain as depression or Alzheimer's dementia, or to joints as rheumatoid arthritis, or to other parts of the body. In fact, I would argue that virtually all human disease has to be reconsidered, redefined, in light of the major contribution that a disrupted microbiome plays.
Well, you talk a lot in the book about a couple of acronyms that people should get familiar with, SIBO and SIFO. I hope I said them right. But essentially, small intestine bacterial overgrowth and small intestine fungal overgrowth. What are the telltale signs? How can people know they're dealing with those?
Well, there's a number of signs that bacteria have overproliferated, and these are stool microbes. In the case of small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or SIBO, and in the case of CFO, small intestinal fungal overgrowth, it's fungi that have taken over. And because, as I mentioned, they live and die rapidly, release those byproducts into your bloodstream. That's how people experience, say, psoriasis, and that's how they experience this disruption of their microbiome. It could be diverticular disease. It could be atrial fibrillation in the heart. It could be carotid disease in the carotids. It could be Lou Gehrig's disease in the brain or Parkinson's disease. It could be weight gain. one of the great consequences of this process, of this entry of bacterial byproducts into the bloodstream, this is called endotoxemia. Well, one of the fundamental factors, one of the fundamental processes that arise from this is resistance to the body's insulin. That is, the muscle, brain, liver don't respond to the body's insulin anymore. That's the process, by the way, that leads to type 2 diabetes. But that's the process that is amplified by this process of endotoxemia driven by unhealthy microbes in the GI tract. So it means that these disrupted microbes in your GI tract can be blamed for type 2 diabetes, or at least a major contribution to type 2 diabetes, obesity, weight gain, all kinds of health problems. That's the dark side. That's the bad part of all this. The good side is once you recognize this, you have magnificent control over your heart. Sadly, most doctors have not kept up with the science, and they still say silly things. Like when you say, hey, I think I have SIBO because I have rosacea or fibromyalgia or I'm depressed. They often say, there's nothing wrong with you. Don't waste my time. There's no such thing. Did you consult Dr. Google again? Because their training is typically 10, 15, 30 years out of date, and they have not kept up with the science. Yet the science tells us the human microbiome plays a critical role in your health, including your emotional and mental health.
We're talking with Dr. William Davis on Downtown. His new book is called Super Gut. You talk about what you call the fecalization of America. And one of the things to keep in mind is that bacteria are not the bad guys.
Exactly right. They're just kind of passive dwellers in this creature called the human body. So fecalization is an interesting thing because, you know, radiology, if you talk to a lot of radiologists, particularly those who do CAT scans of the abdomen or other sorts of contrast studies of the GI tract, they'll tell you there's been an explosion in what's called fecalization. That is, when you see fecal material on an X-ray with this oral contrast, it has a very specific appearance. Well, they're now seeing so-called fecalization, the appearance of fecal matter in the small intestine. It's not supposed to be there, but that's a way to gauge whether you have stool microbes climbing up into the small bowel where they're not supposed to get. One of the curious features of the small intestine is that while the colon, which is accustomed to having stool microbes, right? The colon has a very durable, thick, two-layer mucus barrier to protect you from microbes. The small bowel has a very fragile, single-layer mucus barrier. When stool microbes climb up into the small bowel, that's why they gain entry into the rest of the body, the bloodstream. And now the emerging evidence is telling us even the microbes themselves are getting... You know, we thought that most organs of the body were sterile, like the heart and the brain, and the thyroid gland, and that's becoming clear it's not true. The body is filled with microbes in the uterus, in breast tissue, in the prostate gland, in the thyroid, and every organ is supposed to have its own unique little microbiome, and a lot of that has been disrupted by these processes.
Well, knowing the importance of the mucus barrier, what can we do to strengthen that?
Well, the first step is to recognize, and I failed to mention to answer your first question, that is the telltale signs of this happening. There's lots of them. An unrelenting skin rash that your doctor prescribes, for instance, steroid creams, and it keeps on coming back, that's a really good sign. Intolerance to many foods. It could be legumes like black beans or white beans. It could be something called FODMAPs that many people are told to go on a low FODMAPs diet, or histamine-causing foods, or nightshades, or peanuts, or nuts. So these food intolerances that were virtually unknown in previous generations are a very confident sign that you have overgrowth of these microbes. Another one would be that you see undigested fat in the toilet. You see fat droplets after a bowel movement, or you see staining of the toilet where the water meets the porcelain. That means something, such as microbes up in the upper GI tract, have prevented the digestion of fat. Unexplained emotional problems, such as depression that won't respond to antidepressants, panic attacks. And then there are conditions that are virtually synonymous with SIBO and or CFO, such as fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, any gastrointestinal inflammatory condition like ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, or celiac disease, and neurodegenerative disorders like Lou Gehrig's disease or Parkinson's. These are virtually synonymous. Now, people who have conditions like very common conditions, half the U.S. population has fatty liver, which is a very serious situation. But 50% have it, and 50% of the people, which I think is conservative, 50% of the people who have fatty liver have SIBO, which, by the way, puts the number at around 75 million people just based on that one factor.
Well, there are a number of things you can do. And one of the first things is to get tested, which is remarkably able to be done through a breath test and through something called an AIRE device. Can you explain how that works?
Sure. So not everybody has to be tested. Sometimes you just go by the signs, so-called telltale signs like fat intolerance. But if you want to validate, if you want to prove that you have it, there is, as you point out, a new consumer device. It's been out around 2 years, called the AIRE device, A-I-R-E. And I have no relationship with the company except I've called the inventor numerous times, Dr. Angus Short in Dublin, Ireland, because he thought he invented a device to detect hydrogen gas on the breath in people who had irritable bowel syndrome, who were told to go on what's called a low FODMAP diet, which is essentially a low-fiber, low-sugar diet. Because his girlfriend at the time, now wife, was told this, and he saw how difficult it was for her. When she ate something that was she shouldn't have, she'd have bloating, gas, and diarrhea. So he developed a consumer device, very elegant, very small, and you blow into it, and it registers on your smartphone. It registers the amount of hydrogen gas you're producing. That's because bacteria produce hydrogen gas, but humans do not. And you can use this device in a specific way to map out how high up bacteria are in the GI tract. There's a whole process to do this. And by the way, the instructions provided with the device, because when I got this device, I realized that Dr. Short, being an engineer, not a doctor, didn't understand exactly what he invented. So I called him up. I said, Dr. Short, do you understand what you invented? He said, no, I don't. So I kind of told him this is a device to navigate virtually all SIBO and food intolerances. So they're changing their instructions. They haven't done so yet. So if people go on my Wheat Belly blog or my new book, Super Gut, or my new website that brings all my many, many Facebook pages and blogs under one umbrella, which will be called, launching in the first of the year, Dr. David's Infinite Health, there'll be instructions on how to use the AIRE device to identify SIBO.
Now, one of the things people could do right away to help themselves is to avoid sugars. Basically, what you say is that when you eat those sugary snacks or soft drinks, you're rolling out the red carpet for fungi and bacteria.
Exactly. They love sugar. So the more you eat sugar, the more it's like throwing breadcrumbs out to the birds. You're going to have a nice following, and especially fungal overgrowth. But sadly, there's many other reasons. It's the overuse of antibiotics. It's chlorinated drinking water. It's emulsifying agents in such common foods as ice cream and salad dressings. It's some stomach acid blocking drugs like Prilosec and Protonix. It's non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that people take for pain or menstrual cramps like ibuprofen or naproxen. It's a long list of factors. Now, people get overwhelmed sometimes. They say, I can't remember all this. Well, you don't have to. There's a list to refer to. But what it boils down to is we're going to go back to the way our grandmothers or great-grandmothers did it. We're going to eat real whole foods. We're going to filter our water. We're going to avoid all the things that disrupt the microbiome in the first place. So I liken our efforts to rebuild a healthy microbiome to having a nice spring garden. So in the springtime, you prepare a little 10x10 or so plot by picking out the sticks and stones and weeds. You plant seed, and then you water and fertilize it. You can think of restoring a healthy microbiome in the very same way, and I chart out exactly what those things mean. And in that kind of framework, it's much easier to remember.
Great information. It is a terrific guidebook for your future health. You can take control of it yourself today. The book is called Super Gut, Reprogram Your Microbiome to Restore Health, Lose Weight, and Turn Back the Clock. Dr. William Davis, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.